Now welcome our house band for the evening, the Cedric Burnside Project.
Let a friend borrow some money several times. He never paid me back. Asked me again, I told him no. Say it shouldn't be like that. What about that $100 I gave you? Put food on your table. What about that 50 bucks you asked me for gas when you a neighbor? Said you had some money coming. I'll be the first person you come and see. Your money came, you went a lot of places, but you didn't come see me. I'm through with ya. I watch my hands. I'm through with ya. I'm through with ya. I watch my hands. I'm through with ya.
Now it is time to welcome your host for this evening. She is one of the foremost public radio journalists of her generation. We are so lucky to have her in Georgia now. Everybody, welcome Celeste Headlee.
From GPB News, this is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. There is a lot of talent in Macon, Georgia, and today we will hear some of it. We are in front of a live audience at the historic Douglas Theater.
Imagine having Otis Redding, Little Richard, Ray Charles, James Brown, all competing against each other as teenagers on this talent show. Can you imagine that?
Shed Jr. We caught up with him outside of Grant's Lounge. That's where he was hosting a jam session, and we asked him, what is so special about the history of the Douglas Theater?
Oh my God, where do I begin? Lena Horne, Duke Ellington, those Count Basie, those Cap Calloway, the Butterbeans and Susie, the Vaudevillian acts, all of those people, they were stars in New York. But when they would come south, they had to deal with segregation and hatred and that kind of thing. But Charles Douglas got together with the Apollo Theater and the Regal Theater and some other theaters, the Minstrel Theaters, and created what was called a Black Book. And it gave them housing when they traveled to the south, places that they could still be treated like human beings. His legacy goes so far.
That legacy helped launch the career of a kid born in Dawson, Georgia in 1941. His name still carries a lot of weight today, especially if you ask people around downtown Macon, which is exactly what we did.
Melvina. To mention Otis Redding, you just think of music and Macon. That's what you think of.
Raymond Smith. His music was timeless, you know, and it's still relevant today. You know, it's just sad that he's gone, but his music will carry on for centuries to come.
I'm Scotty. You know, if you grew up here, you grew up around Otis Redding, essentially.
Barbara. I was a little girl. I shouldn't have been listening to Otis Redding, but my mother and father used to play the records, and I'd sneak behind the door, and I'd listen. Otis Redding, yep. Yeah.
You know we love to hear what you think. So if whatever it is that you listen to at home, we want to hear about it, whether it's Otis or not. You know how to reach us. It's 404-500-9457 to leave a message for us. We're also on the Twitter. It's at OST Talk, or find us on Facebook. And remember, we might feature your comments on the show. Well, we welcome a very special guest today, Carla Redding Andrews. She is the daughter of the late, great Otis Redding and founder of the Otis Redding Foundation. It's such a pleasure to have you here.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
So we heard your kids perform, and my question is, what is the purpose of the Otis Redding Foundation when it comes to the kids? Are you trying to sculpt American idols? Are you trying to make kids who are going to make their living in pop music?
Well, you know, the Otis Redding Foundation does a number of things, but most importantly, what we want to do is instill confidence in these kids. They come to us whether they love music or whether they just love to write songs or whether they just want to engineer or whether they just want to be a part of a marketing team to promote a group. But our most important thing is to promote the purpose of, to promote an education first, and then make sure you follow your heart. If singing is your dream, then follow that dream.
So how do you choose? You bring in coaches from all over the country, right?
All over the country, yes.
How do you choose them? What makes somebody a good coach?
What makes someone a good coach is that they, first of all, are not selfish in themselves, that they're more in tune to making this well-rounded young person become a superstar by the end of that two-week program for our Otis Music Camp. They have a passion for kids and giving back to others, and that is what my father always wanted, to make sure that whatever he did, he was able to give back. So those coaches know that they come in, it's not about you, you leave your ego at the door, it's about all 60 plus of these kids.
So we hear from a lot of children of famous people, and sometimes they talk about how hard that can be to be the child of a legendary person. So what has that been like? Especially, you're still in Macon.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it's the way we were raised. We were raised to be very humble. Just because you have a famous father doesn't allow you to do the wrong things in life. You better straighten up and fly right and be grateful. I mean, most of the audience knows my mother does not play the radio. So, yes. So we knew that we had a very famous father, but we knew we were lucky to have him, just as his fans were lucky to have him. So we've lived up to that standard today. And, you know, it gets a little tasking sometimes when people say, oh, you must be Otis's daughter. And I'll say, yeah, but I'm Carla. I have a name. My name's Carla. But I love being the daughter of Otis Redding. And I have to say I'm probably his biggest fan, because I do it, eat, sleep, dream Otis Redding 24/7. And I didn't get the talent. I just got the brains.
So you can't.
No. Don't even ask me. I just got the brains.
So you might have some competitors for title of biggest fan. We have this series called the Georgia Playlist, which is where we ask local musicians usually to pick songs by artists that they think were really significant.
Yes.
Here's Will Clark. He's from the band Funk U. He chose Try a Little Tenderness by your father, Otis Redding. So here he is talking about why he chose that song.
I mean, it was on the radio in the car with the parents. You know, Otis Redding was just a part of my childhood and growing up, and a lot of people our age. So, I mean, it's hard not to be influenced or inspired by him and his lyrics and his music.
How often do you encounter people who just want to touch you? They just want to be a part, I mean, have some part of Otis Redding. That's the kind of love they have for his music.
Well, we encounter that almost every day.
I bet.
And it's just amazing. Here we are, almost 50 years after my father's death, that people are still in tears when they talk about him. You know, that's what we do at the museum that's on Cotton Avenue in our foundation offices. We are actually there to greet the people coming in. And we don't grow weary of having people come in to say, let me tell you my Otis Redding story, because everybody has one. But we stand there and we listen, and my mother's there as well. And we're just grateful, because a lot of artists are forgotten, but Otis Redding will continue to live forever.
If you're just joining me, we're live at the Douglas Theater. We're speaking with Carla Redding Andrews. She's founder of the Otis Redding Foundation. So let's go back to the camp. How long have you been running the music camp?
We just finished our 10th year of the Otis Music Camp. We started out in 2007, with about 12 kids in our camp, and just figured it wouldn't grow any more than that. And now we're up to 65 kids that we completed the process with this year. A two-week program held on the campus of Mercy University covers every facet of the music industry, including copyright and publishing, entertainment law, all of the aspects that you can imagine. At the end of the 2 weeks, they put on this great finale performance. This year, they were on the stage of the Cox Capitol Theater, did a great tribute to Greg Allman, and of course a tribute to Otis Redding, as well as perform their own hit songs.
So here's the voice of another Macon musician, violinist Robert McDuffie. He created his own year-round music school, and he's talking here about what's necessary to educate young musicians, and it sounds kind of similar to what you're talking about.
But we've altered the curriculum in order to prepare the complete independent contracting musician. We don't want our graduates to go out in the world and not know how to read a contract, not know how to raise money, not know how a nonprofit works.
And some of that harkens back actually to the age in which your father worked.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
A lot of musicians were taken advantage of, a lot of musicians signed away the rights to their music. Why is it so important to teach musicians how to read a contract?
Well, it's best to start early. I mean, not only to read a contract for music, but to read a contract before you go into a job, just into the world, period. Because if you don't read that fine print, you can get taken advantage of so easy. And that's one of the one things that my father, despite the fact that he didn't get to finish high school, somehow he transformed those words and knew what the contract said. Therefore, still, while we're able to maintain the legacy of Otis Redding every day. So that's one of the things that we kind of influence off of him, that he wanted to make sure that you handled your business. There was the entertainment side, and there's the business side, and he handled his business.
Do you hear sounds of Macon in your dad's music? I mean, do you think that his music was in and of a place?
I think so. I think a lot of his songs represent exactly where he was in the Bellevue community. You know, that's where his boys were when he was hanging out, and Mom would tell me that. You know, when he was downtown in his office on Cotton Avenue. I think that every song that he wrote, Respect, had a message in it of some incident that happened, probably in Macon, most likely in Macon. So I hear a lot of those things, especially when my mom and I sit and we'll talk about, how do you think he came up with that? And she'll say, well, let me tell you the story about behind this song. So, yeah, there are some stories.
I bet there are. I mean, I wonder how you feel also about all the sampling. There was a lot of sampling of your dad's music. There is, of course, not just that song by Kanye and Jay-Z,
No.
Otis.
Yeah.
But how do you handle those requests?
Well, you know, we have to look at it in the most current way. We could sit back and protect that legacy and leave it where it is, kind of stagnant, just those songs in that catalog that we have, which those fans who love Otis Redding, some of them are passing away every day. So the only way to introduce him to a new genre of kids, of young people who get to experience Otis Redding, is through this sampling. Now, we try to make sure we kind of control how it's sampled. We weren't necessarily happy with Otis, but
the
look
song
what it did.
By Kanye and Jay-Z.
Yeah. Look what the song.
You mean because of
did.
All that stuff they said in between?
Because of all of the stuff that. And my mom's sitting there when they first approached us in terms of getting it done, and she's saying, what does it mean? What are they? Otis would never tear up a car like that. So, you know, but you got to think about branching and rebranding, and that's something that we just have to make the decision to do. As long as it's not too disrespectful.
Are you saying you regret letting Kanye?
No. I definitely don't regret it because I'm telling you, the day the song came out, the searches, the internet searches on Otis Redding that day must have hit 4 million from kids who had no idea, who is this Otis? And that's all we can ask for. So now they're into sitting on the dock of the bay and Try a Little Tenderness and Dreams to Remember. They're into all of his songs.
So the world celebrated your dad's 75th birthday last year.
Yes.
And what is that like for you? Is there still pain or loss there? Or
it's not pain. Like I said, you know, to us, me, my siblings, we are fans of Otis Redding. So he is dad, but we get to experience all the newness about him that fans experience every day because we didn't grow up seeing that. So it's not necessarily sad. What it is it's so exciting when you can be home right here in Macon and have over 2,000 people join you for a celebration for a man who's been deceased for almost 50 years and still share the same joy. That's what makes my heart full.
Carla Redding Andrews is Executive Director of the Otis Redding Foundation. Carla, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed being here. Thank you for having my kids.
We are broadcasting from Macon. We're here for the Brag Jam Music Festival that happens this weekend, and our in-house band, the Cedric Burnside Project, plays us into the next segment.
Well, don't want skin that warm. Well, don't want skin that warm. Me don't shave. Me don't shave. Me. 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 Walk, walk,